You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Speak to us now, Lord, and meet us in these moments. Amen. In light of the utterly tragic event in Central Texas in the early hours of Friday morning, I'm compelled to note that we in this church body, we as Adventers, and we in Christ Church as a whole, in the midst of losing a little girl of our own, we are members of one another. And we are all affected, and we are all heartbroken, and we are praying for our friends, the Marshes, and we invite the prayers of this congregation and our congregation for all who are suffering. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. The text for this sermon is Galatians 6:2, and I'm just going to preach a short sermon on this. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. And I begin by asking a question. It's an impossible question. Why is it that we experience pain in our lives? Why is it that we experience pain in our lives in moments like this and in moments in our everyday lives? Why are we burdened? Why are we burdened with pain? And I don't say this in any sort of cliche way. I think you know me well enough. We feel pain because we have been given hearts to love. We feel pain because we've been given hearts to love. In our lives, there's this core desire, a core desire found deep in our hearts, that the lives that we live should be good. That's a core desire that we have. We want lives to be good. We want lives to be without pain. We want them to be perfect, even. Life was designed, by the way, by God, to be perfect. Perfect lives designed by a perfect God. And yet, when we take a look around, when we take stock, when we look around, we do know that that is not our reality. We know that, tragically, that is not the reality that we have because of the fallenness, because of the evil in this world. And I don't say that lightly either. We do feel pain. We do feel like there is something missing. It's why, as people, it's why we get so enticed in political cycles when candidates say, well, this is the thing that I'm going to do in your life individually, and in society to make your life better, to make society more perfect. They're pulling on our heart's desire, because at the core of it all, that's what we want. That's what we expect. We want our lives, we want things, as we look around, to be better than they are. It's part of, and part of that expectation that we live under, part of the expectation that we feel, is that we will do our part in making that a reality. It's why a movie like the 2000 film Pay It Forward can be made. And why it can make such an impression. The whole premise behind that is that if we as individuals, if we just did our part in society, instead of living transactionally, instead of living as if, well, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours, we might live in a way that take the good deeds of others that do to us, and we might, quote, pay it forward, as the film suggests, to other people and make their lives better. And I confess, I see the appeal here. I see the appeal of a world and society that this could actually work. And not only for my own part in it, I mean, I want to do the right thing too, after all. Because if we all did that, if we all just did the right thing, it's an undeniable fact that the world would just be a better place. That's what we want. We want the world to be a better place. If we all lived in this way, that took the benefit that we receive from others, if we took that into the world, then after a couple of years of doing that, there will be no more wars, there will be no more greenhouse gas effects, no more trash companies leaving your cans on the side of the road for days on end. No more broken families, to be serious. No more hitting drives into the right woods. We would all be doing the right thing we would all just be doing the right thing in taking part in making possible our own desired version for our lives and in society. So when Paul says to us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens, I want to do that. I want to bear other people's burdens. I really want to. And yet, what do we know to be true? Have we achieved Woodstock levels of peace and hope and love and a geopolitically stable planet? What about your neighborhood? Has your neighborhood achieved geopolitical stability? What about your home? I know your kids, by the way. What about your home? Has your home achieved geopolitical stability? And what about your heart? What about the deep and unseen places that we don't really even know about, that I don't know about for you, and you may not even know about yourself? Is there geopolitical stability there? Sometimes life takes a little more dose of reality than that. Sometimes life takes a little more dose of reality than, quote, the perfect life. And I've yet to meet somebody who can paper over the cracks well enough to, quote, fake it till they make it all the way through to the end. You just break down. So earlier in Paul's letter, when he refers to, and I quote, this present evil age, I can see what he's talking about. I know what he's talking about, and I know that he's not just referring to life in the first century. And that's not to say that all of our lives are evil. Sometimes we do hit it in the middle of the fairway. We do have joy with our children being born, with quality time with loved ones. We enjoy going to football games and concerts and amazing life events. We can't just say that life is all bad. There's a lot of love there. We've seen a lot of love come out here recently, here. But it's good to be honest about reality. It would be unfair if we weren't. Where could you be honest if not here? Because around the edges of our lives, around us trying really hard to make our lives to be what we want them to be, what we really know, when we take 2 seconds to be realistic, is that life can be pretty raw. Life can be pretty raw. And I don't think I have to tell you that this morning. On this of all mornings, we know that tragedy is real. We know that our anger and our sadness are very real. We know that our grief is real. At this juncture and in other junctures of our lives is absolutely real. We don't have to manufacture that. It just comes out. Now, why don't we have to manufacture it? Because that die of this reality that we live in was cast long ago. There are a couple of cosmic realities that we live under here in our lives, in this world. And you know them, but I'm going to bring them to light. The first is that we do live in what Paul calls a present evil age. We know this. We know this. You know this sitting right here where you are. You know this because of the pain that we feel, because of a pain that frankly should not be there. Just looking around in the morning, just looking around at the news, just looking around at your neighborhood, just looking inside your home. If I was looking for perfect, I sure wouldn't be looking there. And the second is that even though we live in this present evil age, it is written on our hearts that we might do everything in our power to right that ship. If that ship is going off into a voyage to nowhere, in a voyage to bad, we will do every single thing that we can do to bring it back on course. But what does our reality, if we take a little bit of a moment to be honest, what does our reality have to say about those efforts at the end of the day? How's that going for you? Can we fix the unfixable? Can we fix past tragic events? Have you tried? Have you tried fixing those? There are things in our lives that cannot be fixed. I don't have to tell you that. You know. And finally, The third of these cosmic realities that we live under, and the most tragic of all, the most thing that we run from, the absolute most, I run from it with everything that I have, is that there is one destination for each of us. There's one destination for each of us, is that our mortal bodies are fleeting. These mortal bodies that we have will one day be no more. And oftentimes, this occurs in occasions and in manners that will make one physically sick. So when I read Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens, I confess to you, I want to write back to Paul, I want to send that man an email and say, how can I do that when I have so little ability in bearing my own, and so little hope of bearing my own? So I don't have to manufacture some theological thought up here. It's all right in front of us. We want our lives to be good. We want our lives to be perfect. And we look around, and we take 2 seconds to look around. We are free to admit that's not happening, despite our very best efforts. And that, my friends, is a weight that we feel. That is a weight that we feel, and that's a rawness that we feel with our bleeding hearts. And in the best of times, in the very best of times, we can feel like we're living with a low-grade fever that reminds us of just how much we're not adding up and just how much we're not fixing the unfixable. But what about the worst of times? What about the absolute worst of times? What about when we are faced with dealing with the unimaginable? What happens when you experience something that's frankly worse than your nightmares? Your preacher this morning is the father of 2 young daughters. And as part of this community that is knit together, I don't mind telling you the despondency that I feel at the loss of a beautiful young girl who is one of our own. I don't mind telling you how mad that makes me, and how angry that makes me. And that's probably not even fair for me to say, because at a real ground level, even more so, she belongs not to just this parish, but to her parents, who are experiencing something that would be even more unfair for me to hypothesize. Now, to have both of our eyes open this morning, specifically, we are well within our rights to refer to this moment as a present evil age. And so I ask you, what do we do with our pain? Where do we put that? Now, as I close, there is not a single part of me that wants to consider the reality of the absence of a beautiful young child who has called this place home. And I don't want to think about that, because I know what has occurred is not right. I know what has occurred is not okay, and we grieve. But if it is only this, if we bring our empty hearts here, if it is only this, if we have only been given to us a glimmer of hope from another world where she now resides, we take the slightest of all comfort in knowing that she now is called by her name by our Lord. And in what at times can only seem like just a faint of a whisper, there exists a final reality that we have before us. It is something that we long for. It is something that we hope for when we look around and we look within ourselves and we say, this is all more than I can bear. The end of our mortal bodies is the final burden that we have been given, a burden that is still greater when we consider those that we love. And if the resurrection of the body is not a real thing, then frankly, we can all go home. And even more so, if I can be so bold to say, God our Father is a Father himself. He is a Father himself who has a Father's heart, who understands the depths of our pain. And his Son, with both eyes open, has entered into what we call this present evil age. And his Son, Jesus Christ, has looked at our burdens squarely, and he has looked at yours, and he has looked at mine, and our attempts for us to bear them ourselves. And he has said, I will bear them for you. Lord, we have empty hearts. You are the only one that can fill them. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.